This is Invest Talk, above average investing for the average investor. Invest Talk is made possible by KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm serving clients throughout the United States. And now, here's KPP Financial Executive Vice President, Money Manager Justin Klein.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to Invest Talk. This is our Monday, December 1st, 2014 edition of Invest Talk. And the title of today's show is How to Build a Long-Term Mutual Fund Portfolio. And, you know, it's going to broaden out into a portfolio at large. And, you know, a lot of people use mutual funds, so we're going to talk about that. But ultimately, we're going to broaden out to what you need to think about when you're developing your portfolio. I did not misspeak earlier when I said it is December. It's crazy how quickly the year has gone by. We only have a month left in the year. So I hope you find this show helpful in getting yourself prepared for 2015. And if you have any questions about what's going on in the market, please feel free to give us a call. I know there's going to be a lot of questions about oil after OPEC did not cut production. And I think most people were expecting that. But the market took the oil markets took it a lot worse than I expected. I mean, I expected to be down, but not, you know, to that extent. So it's pretty shocking. You have oil now down below $70 a barrel firmly, and it's going to be interesting to see where the floor is put in. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that, where that potentially could be, coming up on today's show. Now, welcome to our Monday edition of Invest Talk on this first day of December, better known as Cyber Monday. Hope everyone got some good deals out on the internet today. And Invest Talk is on radio, streaming live on investtalk.com from 4 to 5 Pacific time. And, of course, we're packaged as a podcast for distribution all over the world each and every weekday. Now, Invest Talk is here to be a friend of the average investor, and I hope you'll think of this program as a means to get the answers you need, not only about stocks and bonds, but about any of the money choices that we all have to make from day to day. Now, there's no need to go it alone. Investing is a learned skill, and that's a continuing process. You never know everything. You always want to be continuing to learn about how to invest properly and successfully. And you have to invest time to do the reading and the research in order to gather those skills, to gather the knowledge. And of course, we learn from our mistakes. So, you know, having some practical experience always helps, always, always helps. But it's really less painful to learn from others' mistakes, right? Find out what others have done wrong and make sure that you don't repeat those mistakes. So you can read up on some three basic classics of investing. We have a section on our site called under books, and it gives a nice list of different books that you should read to learn more about how to be a better investor. And the three that I want to highlight today are: one is The Little Book of Common Sense Investing, The Only Way to Guarantee Your Fair Share of Stock Market Returns. It's by John Bogle. A Random Walk Down Wall Street, The Time-Tested Strategy for Successful Investing. I think it's a good read, but I don't buy it. I don't buy the random walk theory, but it's an interesting book to understand. And you have to understand that theory so you can realize how bunk it is. And then the great book, the amazing book, the Bible of value investing, The Intelligent Investor, the definitive book on value investing. It's by Benjamin Graham and updated by Jason Zweig. And those are three books that you can just see on our site, among many, many others that you should just take a look at and understand how the investing game works. Now, there are certainly sources of knowledge online. One is called Invest Wisely. An Introduction to Mutual Funds. This is an SEC electronic publication that explains the basics of mutual fund investing and including how to avoid common mistakes. Then there's Ask Stacy, how do I invest in a mutual fund? You can Google these things and they will come up very quickly. Money Talks News founder Stacy Johnson tells a reader where and how to open a mutual fund account. So there's a lot of resources online that you can use to become a better investor, and we are just one of them. Never take anything we say as gospel or anyone else says as gospel. Think of all those people that follow Cramer on CNBC. He makes a ton of mistakes. Sure, he has winners, but he makes a ton of mistakes as well. So don't think that any one person has the answer to all of your problems, all of the investing answers that you want. You have to gather knowledge and make a proper decision based on all that knowledge that you've gathered. And that's what we are here to do, is to help you gather as much information as you can. Now, as you know about online book lists, you can find that on investtalk.com, like I said. And there are 2 or 3 dozen hand-picked books to help enrich your economic and investing knowledge. And you can even order them right there through our affiliation with Amazon. We don't make any money off of it, but it makes it easy for our listeners to find the books that they're looking for. Now, in being at Cyber Monday and all, you can do some gift shopping right there as well. Do your part for online commerce on this Cyber Monday. Now, let's get your voice in on the program. Let's move on and take a question now from our 24-hour listener line. This one came in after our last program at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, this is Mohan from Fremont. I was checking what is your take on these oil prices. Do you think $60 it would hit? Give me your thoughts.
I knew there was going to be some questions about oil prices, and we're now down to, let's see, oil's down to about $69 a barrel. It hit a low of about $65 a barrel. I think there will be a short-term rally in oil, but I think longer term, the oil prices are going lower. And why do I say that? Why do I say that? I say that because the biggest issue, the biggest problem with supply right now, meaning that there's too much supply, is that shale oil, shale drilling is taking over our energy landscape in this country, and we're importing far less oil than we used to. Only about a third of our oil is imported now, where about 20 years ago is about 2/3 of our oil was imported. And we're at the highest level of oil production here in the U.S. since in 25 years. So supply is a big issue. And just like any commodity, when commodities are going down, they usually only find a bottom below the cost of getting it out of the ground or producing it. And most shale production is profitable at $65 and higher. You have to get down to $60 to where it starts to, you know, squeeze most shale producers. It's already squeezing some, for sure. But it's not to the level where I think it's complete panic. I think you have to get there. So I think you'll get a short-term bounce because it's very oversold, and there's going to be a lot of buyers coming in trying to find good bargains. And there are good bargains long-term. But eventually, oil prices have to go low enough to shut off a good percentage of the shale production that has come online over the past 5 years or so. And until that happens, I don't think you'll see a long-term bottom in oil prices just yet. So that's my quick take. We're going to talk about that a little bit more. I want to talk about the wider ramifications of oil prices, not just here in America, but geopolitically. What does it do to the debt markets? Because there's been a lot of this oil production that has been financed through debt, and what could that mean for the debt markets as a whole. So I want to touch on all of those things. Now, not all asset classes or investment vehicles are suitable for everybody, and for good reason. How to build a long-term mutual fund portfolio. That's one of our talking points today, but I have some other ones as well. One, I want to touch on Moody's downgrade of Japan debt. You know, Japan is, you think our QE here at the Fed was crazy. Japan's is even crazier in a lot of ways. So Moody's doesn't like what they're doing, and it doesn't look like their problems are being solved. It's kind of a mixed bag when it comes to their QE efforts, quantitative easing efforts, money printing efforts over in Japan. And Moody doesn't like the progress that they're making. So I think that's important. You know, Japan, one of the largest economies in the world, one of the largest credit markets in the world. And if they blow up, which I don't think they're going to blow up tomorrow, but I think eventually they will blow up because I just don't think they have the wherewithal to dig themselves out economically. But that's something I want to discuss. I want to talk about Black Friday as well. Were people out there shopping? Were sales good or were sales bad? Was traffic good or traffic bad? When I mean traffic, I mean store traffic, not car traffic. So we're going to talk about that. And then we'll touch on oil again. I have a lot of very interesting information, and we can touch on that as well and what this means for the broader economy as a whole. Okay? Now we're here to answer your questions and perhaps bring up some unexpected topics that give you a little more perspective on investing. 8899Chart is how to reach us right now with your money topic on InvestTalk.
We continue with InvestTalk, and you're invited to bring any money question to Justin right now, 888-99-CHART.
888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. That's how you get through to ask your questions now on Invest Talk. Let's go to Brad in Missouri. How you doing, Brad?
Hi, Brad. Hi, Justin. I'm a listener for about 2 years and appreciate you taking my call.
Thanks for making it.
I'm calling about LYB, which is Lyondell Basil. I guess I'm pronouncing it right. Lyondell Basil Industries.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had a comment on it about a month or so ago, and it really took a drop on Friday. Just wondered what you thought about it. I bought a little bit. I'm thinking about buying more.
Yeah, I mean it's a good long term. It's a great company. Very profitable long term. Modest amount of debt. Decent yield. They do have some exposure to the oil industry, and that's why it's taken on the chin recently. So I think, you know, long term it is cheap. And this is a good value, but you know it has a beta of 1.33, so it's a higher risk, you know, of a higher risk nature than the average stock. But if you're willing to handle that type of volatility, then this is a good value at these levels.
Okay, well, thank you very much.
No problem. Thanks for calling. That was LYB, Lyondell Basil. It's a chemical company. They produce plastics and resins and all types of they're a chemical company basically. So it's a good long term play, but it is volatile. So you gotta be mindful of that. Now today's market took it on the chin. I'll give you a breakdown coming up on Invest Talk.
Thanks for subscribing to our podcast. If you'd like to see an entire list of books that can add knowledge and insight, check out our book list. It's there for you on investtalk.com. Now more Invest Talk. Steve has new dates
For portfolio reviews, you'll be in San Jose December 9th and 10th with meetings both days. To reserve your hour with Steve, before his schedule fills up, just go to investtalk.com and click on Schedule a Meeting.
chart, 888-992-4278. Let's take a quick look at the markets today. The S&P closed down 15 points. The NASDAQ closed down 65 points, about 1.35%. And the Dow closed modestly down about 51 points. But, you know, like I always say, it doesn't really mean a whole lot. It's all about the S&P and the NASDAQ and the Russell 2000. And let's see, what did the Russell 2000 do today? That was down about, I'm not seeing this. It was down about 1.56, about a percent and a half today. So that was down big. And the junk bond markets did not do well. They were down about 1% or about 1% in the junk bond markets. And that was really all the back of oil. Oil and gas. Shale oil has really been driven by a lot of debt. Companies borrowing money, a lot of small companies, big companies, medium-sized companies, borrowing money to go out into the shale regions of the United States and drill for oil. And in a lot of ways, it's been successful. But the big issue is it's got to be successful for a long time to repay the debt. And it's only been successful for, a modest amount of time. And especially the newer wells that are being drilled, that's going to cause some issues, and that's why you're seeing a big sell-off in junk bonds as of late. And you can even see, if you look at the chart of the junk bonds, they've been selling off really since late June, call it July, and that's really when oil started tanking as well. So there's a really strong correlation right now with oil and the junk bond market. And I think that's something to take note of. And I'm going to talk a little bit later about why that is. So really a weak start to the month of December, which historically is a bullish month because usually light volume, especially the second half of the month. And I could still see that possibly being the case in the second half of the month. But there's too much going on right now geopolitically with oil prices and the debt markets to And I would not be surprised to see a lot of volatility over the first half of December. And, it'll be interesting to see how much the market can rise the second half on that light holiday volume, which tends to make the market go up. So just an FYI, just keep in mind that is probably what you should expect for the month of December. Now, our main talking point today is about building a long-term portfolio. And if you talk to any advisor, any good advisor, they'll say that when they talk to clients, they first try to figure out their personal goals. Then they decide what their risk tolerance is. They figure out what their risk tolerance is. And how much preservation of capital they need. And then they can build a long-term portfolio for themselves, or for their clients. And that's what we do. And that's what the average investor has to do as well. That's what you need to do. You need to understand what your goals are, where you need to get to, what year, how much money you need to have, based on how much money you're going to need to withdraw in retirement, adjusted for what you're going to get from Social Security, any other pensions, any other inheritance. And then you have to figure out, okay, what type of risk do I need to get there? And is that more risk than I'm willing and able to handle? And how do you measure that risk? So when structuring a portfolio, you have to have the view of providing income during retirement. That's what you have to start with. What is that income level that you're going to need? And then also, what are your potential liquidity requirements? are you going to need this money soon? Meaning the next 3 to 5 years? Or are you going to need this in a while, 15, 20, 30 years from now? And there are other factors as well. What is your current employment situation? Do you have a job that's steady? Like, say you work for a municipality, the government. Job's probably pretty steady. If you're in sales, well, that could go up and down. So that's something to consider. Does your spouse make money? Do they make a lot of money, a little bit of money? What other assets do you have besides just your liquid investments? And then what's your lifestyle? What's your lifestyle today? What's your lifestyle going to be in retirement? All these matter. For example, from a suitability perspective, right? You could have a wealthy client, a wealthy person who's 90 years old, who has plenty of money to live on from pensions and other types of income. So their investment portfolio might be 100% stocks because it's going to their heirs who are much, much younger. So never just use age as the only variable in deciding what is appropriate for you when you're building a portfolio. Okay, it's really very important. Now, we're already at the halfway mark. We try to make Invest Talk worth your while each day, but we need your input. Please give us a call and ask your question at 888-99-CHART.
This is the Monday, December 1st edition of Invest Talk with portfolio manager Justin Klein. Diversification can lull investors into having a false sense of security with hyper-diversified portfolios. Four reasons diversification could hurt your portfolio. That's our talking point on the next Invest Talk. 888-99-CHART is how to get in touch right now.
Let's get back over to our 24-hour listener line at 888-99-CHART. That gets your question to us anytime.
Hi, this is Jack from Minneapolis, a podcast listener. Thank you for what you do for us. I have a question about GGN, George Nancy. What do you think of that as a long-term play? Thank you so much. Bye.
All right, he's looking at GGN. This is GAMCO Global Natural Resources, and this is an ETF that pays a good dividend. And what they do is they invest, they buy gold and natural resource stocks. And then what they do is they sell covered calls. They sell calls, and that's how they produce that particular that stream of income, is by selling those calls. You know, they're heavily into the gold sector, so that's gonna really play into whether or not this can start to rebound. And I think gold will. Gold had a great day today. It's something nobody talked about today. Gold had an amazing day today, especially if you consider over the weekend overnight, gold prices were down about 2%. Or so. Silver was down about 5%. And if you look at the chart or the price movement today, the GLD closed up 4%. And silver, the SLV, closed up 6.4%. So that was about a 10% swing in silver prices from overnight to the close of trading. So it was a massive reversal. A lot of it has to do with something called the MOFO, which I might explain later. It's kind of complex, but basically there's a shortage of gold. There's a shortage of gold out there, and I think the market's starting to realize that. So this has, I think, you know, longer term, this has more leverage to the gold sector, which is, I think, good. Less, still some exposure to the oil industry, such as Anadarko Petroleum, Weatherford International, Cabot Oil and Gas, Baker Hughes, Apache. So it does have some exposure there, but easily the top five holdings are all gold plays. Goldcorp, Agnico Eagle, Randgold, Eldorado Gold, Newmont Mining, all gold stocks. So this is, if gold turns around, and I think gold will turn around, then this is will be a good place to be. That was GGN. So they're calling about, yields about 11%. Now, our talking point today is about building a long-term portfolio. And I talked about all the factors you have to think about when you're building a portfolio. And I got to, at the end, about suitability. Talking about how somebody who's 90, they may not need to be conservative, right? And then someone who is 30, maybe they should be conservative for various reasons with their portfolio. One could be that they are their stream of income, meaning their job is up and down. Maybe they said they're in sales. Or maybe they just have a ton of money and they don't need to, you know, they're saving a lot and they don't need to spend a lot in retirement. They're not flat, you're not a flashy person. Maybe you just take a little bit of risk, get a conservative return, and you'll be just fine. And we run into people like that. And that's why you have to run the numbers. You have to figure out where you want to be. And then ultimately, it comes down to diversification. You know what type of risk profile you have, hopefully. Then you need to figure out how to get there. So you have to understand what asset classes, what mutual funds, what are you investing in? What's the typical volatility for those type of investments? And then when you combine them all together, right, you put all the mutual funds you have in a portfolio or all the stocks you have in a portfolio, what's the historic volatility of that? Right? What's the historical volatility of that portfolio? And if the market goes down 30%, 50%, how much will that portfolio go down? Will you be able to handle it? If not, then what's probably going to happen? You're probably going to panic, probably going to sell right at the worst time. And that's going to ruin your whole plan. And that's what most people do. So you have to understand your risk tolerance before making and building a portfolio. 888-99 chart is our number, 888-992-4278. Here's a question from a listener who follows us on Twitter. He says, hello, Steve and Justin. Great show as always. Looking to buy CVS Health, CVS. Can you comment on a good price point? I like CVS. I like the company. Great long-term growth prospects. I like how they are moving away. They stopped selling cigarettes. They're moving into more of, instead of just a pharmacy or just a drugstore, really a health care outlet for all your healthcare needs. And I like that strategy from them. From a valuation standpoint, it is pretty expensive, but I really like the company. I like they pay a dividend. It's only 1.2%, but I like the company. Now, where would I want to buy it long term? That's really the question. Where's that point where I go, okay, this is where you step in and really buy this stock because it's really cheap. Well, I would say, let me do a quick analysis right here. It's a lot lower than it is now. Now it's trading at $90.16 at the close of the day, down about $1.20. I'm going to say at $50. $50 is where I'd step in, buy it hand over fist. Could it get there? Absolutely. Will it get there? I mean, you never know. In a recession, this thing, last recession, it went from $44 a share down to about $22 a share. So a 50% decline in the stock. And a 50% decline on this would bring it to $45. So $50, I think, is realistic in the next few years, and that's probably when I would pick it up. But I wouldn't be buying it here. Way too overpriced, but definitely a fantastic company to have on your watch list and be thinking about. Now, you can send us your question to the Twitter handle, at KPP Financial. We changed it. It used to be at Invest Talk, but we changed it to at KPP Financial. So you can always send your question to us via Twitter to at KPP Financial.
If you'd like to revisit other chart lessons, recorded webinars, or special watch lists, you can do that by signing up to be an Invest Talk Insider. There's no cost. And you can register right now if you'd like on investtalk.com.
Hello. I'd like to know your opinion about Monster Beverage Company. Are they going to mix with other companies, Coca-Cola or one of them, or what? I've been trying to figure out if it's going to progress any further or make a decision on it. Thank you. Bye.
All right, this is Monster Beverage. MNST is a symbol. Been on a tear lately from 65 or so in early August all the way up to $111 a share. Whoa, quite a move. And, you know, his question was, are they going to merge with Coke? There's been a lot of rumors over the years. Coke probably wishes they did it, but they didn't. I can't remember what that was. I think it was, 2012. There were some rumors about that, and now it's even higher than that. So I think it's a good company. I think longer term, it's probably going to have some trouble really staying on top of the energy space. It did partner with Coke, and so that could expand. That's been expanding their sales and their margins, so that's really been the driver. Recently. Eventually, I could definitely see Coke buying them. Do I think it's going to happen anytime soon? You never know. It's hard to know, but it's at these levels, it's pretty expensive. It could keep going higher. They don't have any debt, which is good. But, I mean, you know, this type of growth, 32% year-over-year earnings growth, that's good. It's a 45 PE, so it's a little rich for that type of growth. But staying on the using Coke's distribution channels, which is what they're doing, looks to be helping them a lot. So whether they'll merge, I don't know. Is it a really profitable and good growing company? Yes. Is it overvalued? Yeah, a little bit. Dramatically overvalued? Probably not. But it's something that is high risk, but, you know, high risk can come high returns when things keep going this way. So it's just a matter of, will Monster stay on top of the energy patch? I'm not talking about oil. I'm talking about energy drink patch. And I think it definitely could, at least for the near term. But long term, usually these type of companies, somebody comes and eats their lunch eventually. Now let's talk quickly about Moody's downgrade of Japan. Today, Moody's cut Japan's debt rating by one notch, warning that policymakers will struggle to boost growth and get debt levels under control at the same time. They said that the outlook was stable, even though they downgraded their rating from A1 to AA3, so one notch. And they suggested another downgrade was unlikely anytime soon. But they cited rising government borrowing, growing demand for social programs due to a rapidly aging population, and the slow pace of economic reform as reasons for the downgrade. And that was kind of the whole story, was that they were going to print money, and they were going to do some reform, and that was going to boost productivity, and it was going to kickstart Japan and get them out of their slump they've been in for, what, 25 years? I mean, it's been forever, it seems like. Now, they raise the sales tax, but that caused them to slip into recession in the third quarter. And that caused them to put off the next sales tax increase even farther. And now the government debt has ballooned to 245% of GDP and continues to rise. And debt levels will only start to decline under the most favorable combination of economic and fiscal reforms, according to Moody's. And I would agree. I mean, this is go back in history. Printing money has never solved any economic problem over the long term. Look at history. No country has printed tons and tons of money and solved their economic problems over the long term. It always comes back to bite them. And now Japan is printing far more money than we did on a consistent basis, meaning our Fed did, in relation to their economy. I think it's like 6 times the ratio that we were printing. So Japan's definitely going to blow up at some point. It's just a matter of, you know, is it 3 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now? But in the next 20, I can almost guarantee Japan's debt is going to, they're going to default on their debt. It's going to be bad. And the rating agency said that Japan will need to execute tax and social security reform, end deflation, improve productivity, and grow the economy by more than 3.5% annually in order to get out of their economic and debt problems. Now, how many of you think that they can execute tax reform and Social Security reform with a population that's aging rapidly? It's a very old population that's reliant on energy sources, foreign energy sources, because they're an island. Think they're going to end deflation, which they haven't been able to do for 20 plus years, to improve productivity, once again, in an economy that has a rapidly aging population, and somehow grow the economy more than 3.5% annually under all those circumstances. Seems like a long shot to me. So I think that's something that people need to understand, keep on their minds. Maybe not, you don't need to freak out about it or worry about it too much right now. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Now we're moving into the last segment of the hour. Let's see if we can get your questions answered before the day is done. There is a line open for you to get in now. Please call sooner rather than later. We've got about 8 more minutes left to get your question in. We are here for you at 888-99-CHART.
What are small cap stocks? What makes them act differently than large cap stocks? What's your question? Why not ask it now at 888-99-CHART on InvestTalk. Thanks for being a podcast subscriber. And even though you listen after our daily production time, you can still be part of the discussion. Your questions and comments set the tone and the topics, so please participate. Just call 888-99-CHART anytime. And if you'd like to talk live to Steve and Justin, just make that call between 4 and 5 p.m. Pacific time. InvestTalk continues now with portfolio manager Justin Klein on this Monday. And if you hear us talking about portfolio checkups, but you live out of range of our California offices, you can still get together with Steve for a one-on-one portfolio review. Steve schedules a limited number of these on Skype, and you can sign up right now on investtalk.com and schedule a meeting.
Many of our listeners who hear us live on our website, investtalk.com, and we're live 4 to 5 Pacific time. But here's a call from one of those listeners, Ricardo, call from Sacramento at 888-99-CHART.
Hi, I work for a county, and I'm in the CalPERS system.
I wanted to find out, they offer a deferred comp program that has, a lot of selections, but I wanted to know the pluses and negatives of using the set years for retirement versus kind of picking and choosing small cap, large cap, and all the other types of funds that are out there, either doing that or keeping one that has, it's set for a retirement year of 2030 or 2040 or 2050. Thank you very much.
Well, it sounds like he's trying to decide between a mix of, small cap and large cap stocks and all the other options that CalPERS allows you to invest in versus the targeted funds, because that's kind of what it's been recently is everyone's pushing targeted funds, even though there's big problems with most targeted funds. I think the issue is this is what I say about targeted funds and why I don't like targeted funds. Say, for example, two employees, same age, preferably, say they're the same age, right? Well, say they want to retire both in 2050. Well, one might make more money than the other. One might be more risk tolerant than the other. One might need more money in retirement. One might want to retire in 2049 versus the other 2052, but they still would use a 2050 targeted fund. But they have different needs. But if they're both invested in a 2050 targeted fund, then they are invested exactly the same, even though their needs are very different. So that's why we developed our 401k solution. That's why we do with our clients, because everyone's needs are a little bit different. All right. So I think that's the first thing you have to understand. If you invest in that targeted fund, it's going to have some sort of glide path, some sort of way to go from aggressive today to conservative at whatever date that is. But maybe you don't need that. Maybe that's not what you're looking for. Okay, so maybe you need to build a more aggressive portfolio, a more conservative portfolio. So I wish I could help you a little bit more, but I don't know your full investment options, and I know the CalPERS options are very limited. But go to my website, go to investtalk.com, hit contact Justin, send me your options, and I'll kind of look it over, and maybe we can get you dialed into a portfolio that maybe is more appropriate for you than just the standard targeted fund. Now I want to talk a little bit about oil and what the ramifications of oil prices at these levels will be. And the problem is that it's going to cause the debt markets, especially the junk bond markets, to have a conniption fit, as my mother would say. It's interesting to see what's going on in that patch. And if you look at and deep into the oil industry recently, it's really been the epicenter of irrational behavior. And investors have been throwing the most good money after bad in this sector. Oil and gas investment in the U.S. has soared to $200 billion a year, and it has reached 20% of total U.S. private fixed investment, the same share as home building. So it's been massive. This has never happened before in the U.S. history, even during the Second World War, when oil production was a strategic imperative. And the whole industry, especially the small companies, they have been burning cash, paying out dividends, and they're just not cash flow positive, and they're borrowing a ton of money. And that is with oil prices high. When oil prices are at these levels, they're going to go through a lot of problems. And that is why these low oil prices are an issue. How big of an issue they're going to be, I think, is yet to be seen, but they're going to be bigger than I think most people expect. Now, before we close the hour, be sure to sign up to be an InvestTalk Insider. It's free, and it gives you access to our whole library of InvestTalk webinars. The latest one is Ready Now, our comprehensive wealth workshop on retirement preparation. Sign up on investtalk.com. Look for Insider. I'm portfolio manager Justin Klein on behalf of Steve Peasley and everyone at KP Financial. Thank you for listening, and we hope you'll be here for the next Invest Talk.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor.